Welcome to the LeaderQuest podcast, episode one. I'm your host, Justin. In this inaugural episode, find out about my call scoring and how ultimately I want to help you grow in all areas of your leadership health. Remember, before we dive in, that if you want to see the full audio and video, including some of the crazy shenanigans that my family are up to as we record this podcast, be sure to check out the YouTube channel, Next Steps Coaching. With that, let's dive into this episode, hear my call story, and how I can help you. And I started at Next Steps Coaching back in 2014. But that was when my professional coaching journey started. But I really think my idea into health and wellness and becoming a sustainable leader started long before that. And one of the areas where I know that it started for me was actually as a freshman in college. So I'm going to share a couple of quick stories. And the first one today is in my freshman year of college. I was at a small Bible college in the Midwest and really struggling with what it is that I wanted to do. I had gone in as a science major, was convinced that that was really what I wanted to do. It's where really one of my big loves at the time was science. In high school, I was a wrestler and really loved that. That was the hardest thing for me to give up coming out of high school. Also loved science. But went in, science major, didn't really continue to carry that same sort of passion for it. You know, it was one of those times where it was like 1 o'clock in the morning and I was still at the science lab and I was staring at some plant under a microscope trying to figure out leaf type and genus and species and all of this. And it was just like, this is not what I thought this was going to be. And I really started to look for other options. And began to wrestle with this idea of my call at the time. And wasn't sure what that meant. Wasn't even sure at the time that I could have given this sort of language to it, right? I just knew I was unhappy. In many ways, quite honestly, probably suffering from a bit of depression. I'd lost my sports in high school. I'd lost a lot of that passion and that drive. I was trying to find myself as an adult. My major that I thought that I was going to do wasn't panning out. And I began this really sort of intense wrestling with God and trying to figure out what it is that I am here to do. I began to hear this small voice inside my head saying, well, what would you think about going into ministry? You know, you're at a Bible college. What about doing something like that? And just at the time, a completely preposterous idea for me, had zero interest and dismissed it. You know what? I'll do anything but that. That's not what I came here to do. And started looking at other options. Maybe I just transfer schools, one that has wrestling, one where maybe the science program would be a bit more stimulating. Nothing seemed to pan out. Couldn't find anything that seemed to be a good fit. And this voice just kind of kept recurring. And in a fit of rage, I did what all smart people, right, especially smart 19-year-olds fresh out of high school, do. They decided to challenge God because clearly I knew better. And so I found a Bible on a shelf. And I chucked it. I mean, like literally threw it across my dorm room as hard as I could. And I said, if you want to convince me that I should go be a pastor or whatever that this means, this call to ministry, then whatever page that fell open to, you need to speak to me, because I'm telling you right now, God, I don't like crowds. I can't speak in public. I have zero desire to do anything in the public service. And I just kind of began to list off all of the reasons why I couldn't do this thing that I started to feel this call for. And I walked over, I picked up my Bible, I sat down on the bottom bunk of my dorm room, college dorm room bedroom, and pointed at the Bible, where it had randomly fallen open to, and it fell open to the book of Exodus chapter 6, which is the story of the calling of this guy named Moses, who would eventually free the slave Israelite people from the hand of Pharaoh. And in the story of his call, God goes to Moses and says, hey, why don't you go into ministry? Why don't you do something for me? And Moses begins to list all sorts of reasons why he can't. And almost word for word, they were the same excuses that I had used. Maybe I should say word for word. I had previously used the same excuses that Moses had. Don't like speaking in public. Don't want to do public service. Zero desire to do this. Like every excuse that I had lobbied, Moses had done the same. And then this still small voice of God kind of spoke to me and said, if I can do something with him, surely I can do something with you too. Now, I'm not here to say I'm the next Moses by any stretch of the imagination, but it was this significant point in my experience where I was at least open to this idea of a call being on somebody's life to do something for a specific purpose. Long story short, I ended up wrapping up my college career. I changed to the ministry degree. Actually added a second one on my last year there just to finish it off. And the next moment that I want to share is actually standing on the lawn of my college literally just an hour or less after graduation. And I'm standing there in my cap and gown next to my brother, and I said, well, I've graduated. I guess all I have to do now is work until I die or retire, whatever comes first. Now, in that moment, that was, for me, a very catalytic idea, because nobody had prepared for me about what comes next after college. You see, I had been asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? I had been led to, well, you need to go to college because everybody goes to college. Nobody at any point in time had said, and this is what happens and this is what life looks like once you actually graduate. All I knew was I was 21, I had a college degree, I had a wife, and I had about $80,000 in educational debt. What on earth comes next after that? Nobody prepared me for. I ended up finding a job. It was actually a ministry position at the church that we'd been attending, and now I'll never forget the very first day that I was on the job. The church secretary walks in and she says, here's your paycheck. Don't forget to take taxes out of it. And I looked at her and I said, what do you mean take taxes out of it? Isn't that what you do? She goes, no, nope. In the nonprofit, in the church world, I will write you a check, but you are responsible for your own taxes because you are considered self-employed. 4 years of going to a religious college, a Bible college, getting a religious degree, preparing to work in the church, and not one person ever mentioned to me that I would be considered self-employed and need to know how to do my own taxes. I felt so incredibly lost those first couple of years, just trying to figure out everything that my education didn't actually teach me. Third story, and we'll fast forward about a decade, I'd spent time both in marriage and in individual counseling. Got my master's, we had moved to Denver, I started actually a doctoral program, and I ended up getting a coach to walk me through about the first semester, first year of my doctoral program. And that, for the first time in the 10 years since I had graduated college, finally found some clarity in what it is that I felt that I do. This coach walked me through what I'm like at my best and what I'm like at my worst and what are my strengths and what are my weaknesses and how I can actually use these sorts of things to impact those around me and leave a legacy of influence and impact in the world. And this sort of idea of coaching and development was, at that time, something completely new to me. I had been reading, I'd listen to podcasts, I'd read books, I had a master's degree, I was working on a doctorate, so like the idea of education had been ingrained in me, but never this idea of self-leadership, of self-development. They were somehow remained definably distinct in my head up to this point, but I ended up being able to find a great coach, walk me through some of this. And in 2014, actually launched my own coaching practice that helps leaders or people who think that they're called to lead develop their calling, find their calling, develop their character, and live with courageous action. That it is really those things, this idea of calling, of character, and of courage that really become the foundation for what I think great sustainable leadership looks like. And we're going to talk a lot about leadership in its many forms on this. It's actually what I got my doctorate in, so we're going to spend lots of time diving into that, diving into the issues of self-care in its many forms, of how to lead effectively, leading intergenerationally, leading across ethnic lines, leading through humility. What are the core characteristics of leadership? So we're going to dive into all of that, but those really are the background of what it is that I do. And so the clients that I work with are tend to be, I don't want to maybe over stereotype and feel like I'm excluding somebody, but these are just naturally the people that end up finding me and working with me, so that maybe, you know, if you want to reach out and work with me, here's some of the things I look for. First of all, you have to be interested in actually becoming better. I have fully returned people's money. If I have to coach you on the same topic multiple weeks in a row because you're not doing your homework, I will actually hand you your check back, because I don't need your money that bad. I only have time to work with people who are serious about making life change. Second of all, they tend to be a leader in some sort of capacity. Maybe that's in their family, maybe that's in starting a business, maybe that's in the current business that they're in, but in some way they would identify themselves as somebody called to lead. Third, they care about their health. They know that, hey, as a leader, more is expected of me, but you know what? Quite honestly, I also feel like I'm capable of more. Like, I know one of the things that serves me really well, if you want just an honest assessment of how I would describe myself, Justin giving the assessment on Justin, I am not the smartest person at all. There are people in my family, I have close friends, who are much, much smarter than me. But I do know my capacity to just work really hard. And I value efficiency, and I value that idea of growth, and just how good can I be. And so I may not be the smartest, but I also know I'm probably one of the hardest workers you're ever going to meet. And so you as a leader have to be serious about your own growth and about knowing your strengths and weaknesses. We're going to call out blind spots. We are going to look at areas where maybe you're doing well and areas you're not doing well. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be balanced as a leader to continue to be able to sustain this. That if we look at the trends in leadership, health, and burnout, that a lot of times people rise to the top and they rise fairly quickly, but then they start to tank, and maybe it's a moral or financial failure. Maybe there's just a lack of showing up. They lose their passion. It just becomes hard to get out of bed in the mornings. Do you know that the number one time for suicides in America is Sunday night? Because people end up dreading the thought of waking up Monday morning going to a job that they hate. And that is something that I am here to fight against with every fiber of my being. You are called to greatness. You are called to so much more. You have been equipped with priceless gifts that can affect change in this world in ways that you cannot even comprehend, and I firmly believe that. And I challenge my clients, dare big dreams, to do big things. And when they struggle, they will come to me and say, you really have faith that I can do this? And my answer is always unwavering. I have unwavering faith and support in you and what it is that you're capable of. And we are going to dive deep into that in this podcast, on this channel, whatever form you are catching this. So if you are following me on YouTube, please like this video. Please leave me a comment on something you want to see me cover in upcoming topics, or something that is significant to you. Maybe tell me a bit about your call story. If you're listening to this on iTunes or another platform, please be sure to subscribe as well, and make sure that you stay up to date on all of the other information. I will include links at all of the appropriate places to make sure that you know how else you can follow me. You can check out my website, where I blog on health and leadership. You can sign up for my newsletters if you want some of the behind-the-scenes work that I'm doing. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that sort of stuff. All of those links are going to be included. If at any point in time you are struggling and you need somebody to talk to, please reach out to me. I am here for you. And if you are ready to take that next step, shoot me a message and I will be in touch. I love getting to help people live life at full capacity. But with that, I am Justin. This is Next Steps Coaching. This is the conclusion of the Leader Quest Podcast, Episode 1. Thank you for tuning in. We will see you next time.
Podcast Episode 1, written and directed by Justin Hebert, music by Kayani.